Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast brought to you by BackSportsPage.com. This is Mo and I'm coming to you live with my co-host T and of course Tom. Just a few things before we get started. T and I participated in our first live draft this past weekend, actually using a program from fandraft.com, which is awesome, by the way. So check it out if you haven't heard of it, whenever you get a chance. But now that'll allow us to give our sleepers, since we've seen the value of certain players, both underrated and overrated. So also during the podcast, I will actually be participating in a live draft at 8:30 for one of my money leagues, so I'll be interrupting the conversation every time my pick comes up. I'll analyze each pick I make, go over my strategy, stuff like that, but not get into too much detail because the rest of the members from the league will also be listening, so I can't give too much away. Lastly, and possibly most important, my beloved Lions are playing during the show, so I may stop the comment on that game as well. All right, so for the important stuff today, between all my distractions, of course, we're going to discuss which players are overrated and which players are value steals at their current draft positions. So you'll find out who you need to avoid, who you need to reach around early to take, guys you want, and all your upcoming drafts, which might be as early as this weekend. So as we discuss, feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll be taking calls at 760-283-0846. Again, that's 760-283-0846, or you can inbox us on Facebook. All right, so storylines from the previous week. Michael Vick named the starter in Philly. We're just going to go over all the starting quarterbacks that got named this week. Michael Vick in Philly, Brandon Weeden in Cleveland, and E.J. Manuel looks not necessarily named yet, but making a strong case to start in the preseason. So Vick, I don't think that's a surprise at all. He's a perfect fit for Chip Kelly's run-first offense. He needs to make quick decisions. It brings his draft value up a little bit. We don't like him in QB1 leagues, but he's the type of quarterback who could finish in the top five, definitely top 10 if given the opportunity, and now we know he has the opportunity. There was talk that he might have been outplayed by Nick Foles, but that's not confirmed now. Or it is confirmed that he's going to start. Brandon Weeden in Cleveland, we thought he was going to win the job there too over Jason Campbell. Not much of a surprise. Why would you waste the first-round pick on him last year? He didn't want him to play as much as possible. They want him to – and that's good news for actually the rest of the skill position players in Cleveland as well. North Turner is hopefully going to turn that into a viable offense for fantasy purposes this year. I love Josh Gordon as a late-round sleeper, the wide receiver. We'll talk about that later. Of course, that helps Trent Richardson a little bit too as well.
Jordan Cameron as well. North Turner has made a start out of – tight ends before, like Antonio Gates.
Yeah, definitely he's one of those late-round sleeper tight ends that we've spoken about before. So I like – what do you think out of this? What do you think is the biggest news out of these three quarterbacks?
I think the biggest news is E.J. Manuel. I think he was really the only one that you consider, if not an underdog, a 50-50 chance to start going into camp. I think that Brandon Weeden and Michael Vick were both – expected to start. Manuel actually went into a camp with a battle for his job, and I think he won it. Vic probably has the most fantasy relevancy, but Manuel, I think, as you'll find out later, I actually kind of like E.J. Manuel this year as a sneaky, third quarterback in the two quarterback league or something like that. As you said, Vic, I don't have my rankings in front of me, but I think I have him 14th or 15th in my rankings, but he is the one guy outside of the top 10 or 11 that could finish top 5 if he puts together a run like he did 3 years ago.
And stays healthy. That's the biggest thing for Michael.
Well, yeah, of course.
Speaking of quarterbacks staying healthy, RG3 actually practiced at full strength for the first time, I believe, today or yes? I think it was today.
Today, yeah.
Should be ready by week one. He's been saying this for weeks. We don't know if his knee is going to hold up. It's a shaky situation. I'm not a huge fan of RG3, but I would still, if a lot of people are. I would draft him with confidence. I don't think the knee is going to be as much of an issue as we were initially worried about. So that's good news for him, good news for Redskins fans, for the few of you out there, the unfortunate ones. Fans who aren't so fortunate.
It's kind of funny seeing a Lions fan saying any other franchise fan is unfortunate.
Hey, I'm optimistic about this season, all right? We have a bright future ahead of us.
Yeah.
Like I said, team fans that aren't so fortunate. Le'Veon Bell gets the Lisfranc injury. Might avoid surgery. Right now they're saying it's possible that he comes back in 4 to 6 weeks. That's probably unlikely or highly unlikely. The good news is that he did avoid surgery. If he did get surgery, he would have been out for the entire year. Now, 4 to 6 weeks, I would lean more towards 6 to 8. And even when they do come back, it's not like they're going to rush him into, you know, first team action and give him all the carries like as was expected, which is the reason I spent early round, you know, higher round picks on him. I might have reached a round ahead just to get this guy because I thought he was going to be pretty good this year. You can't predict injuries. That's part of fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Le'Veon Bell is that, you know, you liked him because of his position. He was supposed to be a starting running back in a backfield that didn't have that many other threats to him. And now all of a sudden he's not in that position. You know, you're drafting a rookie running back coming in possibly week 8 into a backfield that players that have been with the team for a couple of years are going to be, you know, playing for 7 or 8 weeks. And to a team that, quite frankly, didn't rush the ball that much, you know, I think you think of the Steelers and you think of, oh, the old school great defense pound the ball, but I think they threw the ball like the 4th or 5th most times last year. And when they did run it, they didn't run it that well. They don't have that great of an offensive line. I mean, I'm not going to say that Le'Veon Bell is undraftable in standard leagues, but he's pretty close to it.
Yeah, in 10-team leagues, if you have one flex spot, I wouldn't object to putting him, you know, just drafting him and stashing him on your bench to see what happens towards the end of the year. We're obviously going to find out more information right before the season starts, but it doesn't look good. And like I said, I think you're looking at best case scenario 6 weeks before he comes back in a limited role. So it's just not good for Steelers fans. It's not good for any unfortunate owners who may have drafted Le'Veon Bell on both of their teams this weekend. But we'll see. I mean, that's what happens with fantasy. Another injury we might have to worry about, Victor Cruz, Giants wide receiver. He has a bruise on his heel. It's sort of, I don't think I've ever heard of this injury before. A bruised heel that's been bleeding as well. He has it in the cast. He's been on crutches. He says he's going to be available and ready by week 1. I mean, I guess we have to take his word for it. He hasn't really been injury prone at all. They're going to be cautious with him and have him sit out as much as possible in order to rest this. We still have, 3 weeks until opening day, so that's plenty of time for him to...
Two weeks.
All right, even worse. I see this as he's going to be a questionable status right before week 1.
I mean, from what I've heard, I'm not a doctor. I've heard that heels are just tricky with players. The protective boot and the crutch is just a precaution, trying to keep him off of that foot as much as possible. Like you said, I think he's still going to be questionable, but I think, you know, if it was an ankle and the same degree of an injury, I don't think he'd be on the crutches. I think it's just a precaution. I would expect him to do everything that he possibly can to be ready for week 1.
I think so too as well. I mean, if he isn't available for week 1, this will be a nice little audition week for Reuben Randall, who would get the starting spot opposite Akeem Nicks as the number 2 receiver. And it would be a great, you know, little fill-in for anyone who did use a late-round pick on Reuben Randall or plans to use a late-round pick on Reuben Randall. As I said, I don't want to give away my sleepers right before my draft tonight, but that's one you guys can all have. I'm not a huge Giants fan. Actually, kind of despise them. So anyway, other news, running backs named the starter, Darrell Richardson over in St. Louis. I think we spoke about this ever since the first podcast. It's not too shocking. I think we knew this was going to happen. Isaiah Pete suspended for the first game of the season. Zach Stacy, the rookie they drafted this year, pretty unimpressive in preseason so far. So Darrell Richardson is the best option they have. So I just don't see him as a workhorse running back. That might be the only problem, but, you know, we actually have a caller. Let's see what they have to say on this situation. Caller, are you there?
Hey, guys. This is Pat from Wayne. I actually have a different question I want to talk about. It's good to talk to you guys after a long day landscaping. I just want to ask you a question about my draft this past Sunday. I took this guy in the 17th round, and I think he could be a steal. He's had a tough offseason, though. Riley Cooper. I just want to ask you if there's a better chance he emerges as a wide receiver 3 or a better chance one of his teammates shanks him in the locker room. Thanks, guys.
Wow. It's actually not a bad question. I do like – I did like Riley Cooper as a sleeper initially. We just don't know – You know, as soon as Jeremy Maclin went down with the ACL injury and he was out for the year, there was, the door really opened for Riley Cooper and to take the number 2 spot. And he's actually been, he's been pretty productive in the limited time that he has been a starter for that team. You know, he could be a deep threat. We've seen him, you know, jump up and catch balls over defenders. So he's pretty versatile. And, you know, Michael Vick has a huge arm. So he does have big playability. We don't know what his situation is going to be like. He's kind of in – he sort of falls in the same category as, you know, the Aaron Hernandez's of the world. It's just someone I'd try to avoid in order to – you know, there's more value to be had. Maybe then again, you said you did take him in the last round, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think Riley Cooper could be one of those guys that has a huge leap from here to there, but I think he's going to be pretty inconsistent from week to week. Pat, I don't think he got much of a steal in the 17th round, but I guess that remains to be seen.
Yeah, Pat, I appreciate the call. Anyway, let's get back to what we were speaking about. So Darrell Richardson, the starter for St. Louis, he's a little small. May not be an every down back. I guess that's what they want him to be. But you know, Jeff Fisher, he has said that he has no problem playing with the committee backfield. They do have. And Isaiah Pete was the higher drafted guy. Not that means much, but initially they thought more of him than Darrell Richardson. He does have big playability, and I do like the fit he is in the St. Louis offense, which is going to be an offense where, you know, up-tempo, they have tons of speed at wide receiver, drafting Tavon Austin and Chris Givens on the outside. And now Darrell Richardson, these guys, their potential is just enormous. And you know, this is a make-or-break year for Sam Bradford as well. I just think, you know, he's another guy we'll talk about later as a possible low-end sleeper at quarterback. But, I mean, with Richardson, I think he had an 8th, 9th round ADP, and now he jumped all the way up to around, like 5th, 6th. So it's a big jump for Darrell Richardson. Good news for him there. The next thing we have here, the New England Patriots tight end situation. Gronkowski. The situation is becoming a little clearer. We still don't know how hurt he is, you know, how – the big thing, it looks like he might avoid the PUP list. He might be back before week 6. I like his chances. It's just – I'm just a little worried about week to week what you're going to have to deal with when it comes to injury reports and
– Not unless you draft Zach Sudfeld.
Not unless you draft – but then again, you know, it might be – we all know – especially they like to play. I don't know the schedule off the top of my head, but I can only guess that the Patriots have at least one Monday night game before week 6. So if you have a...
Well, that wouldn't affect you if you draft the Sudfeld. He'd still be playing.
No, fair enough. It's just that you have to worry about... not only are you wasting a second tight end spot, I do like the combination. If you're going to take Gronkowski, then I like taking Sudfeld.
Here's what I can say. I think... For the latest report I read that Gronk said that he, or not that he, but the Patriots said that he should be ready by week 3. So if you think, you know, you got to figure he's such a big part of that offense. If he's ready by week 3, they are going to hold him off the PUP list. The reason I'm half kidding when I say draft up Zach Sudfeld, I drafted him on Sunday in the league I was in. And I drafted him because basically they said that if Gronkowski does come back healthy and plays and is the old Gronk, that Gronk is going to play the role that he used to play and Sudfeld would play the Aaron Hernandez role. Which, if that's true, it basically makes them both fantasy viable options.
Not just viable, it makes them great options. And I like the point you bring up. If Sudfeld does go into the Aaron Hernandez role, they're not the same type of player, but there's things by not the same type of player, I mean Sudfeld's not the same type of player as Hernandez. I think he's more of a Gronkowski type. But he's going to be a red zone option. He's going to get his looks, and they love to use the throw in the two tight end sets. And
well, I mean, the way I meant it is just that, like, Sudfeld is a little light for a tight end. He's actually, like, 6'7", but he's only 230. He's just not the best in-line blocker. Like, if you have to line him up as a traditional tight end, he's not the best blocker ever. So that's what I mean when I say I think he's not the athlete that Hernandez is, but I think they can line him up as an H-back, you know, in the slot. And we all know that the Patriots want to run out of the two tight end set. They've done it for 3 years now. You know, they just have to have two tight ends to possibly do it with. So they want to run out of that formation. It's just a matter of they can. And, you know, with the showing that Sudfeld has had in preseason, I think that, you know, it might be possible if Gronk comes back and doesn't get re-injured.
As Ray Rice scores a touchdown, let me make everyone clear. This is a live podcast. So as of now, we did just watch Zach Sudfeld get railed and fumble the ball against my Detroit Lions defense. So,
yeah, but it was fine because, it was a catch for over 10 yards, so you're actually still getting points.
But then again, that's the first bad thing that Sudfeld, I mean, as far
yeah,
as I've
I mean,
seen that he's done this preseason.
Gronk is a tricky case because, as we all know, the Patriots and Bill Belichick in particular are always very mum with injuries. So we don't know. We can only go by what we're hearing. I'll say in the draft this past Sunday, I took Gronkowski, which I thought was a steal. Everybody else made fun of me for it, actually, except for you, Mo. But I got Gronkowski in the seventh round, knowing that I was taking Sudfeld in the last round no matter what. And I feel more than confident in my tight end position as far as that league goes. I think Sudfeld has top 10 tight end potential, and as we'll get into it later with our sleepers and overdrafted, if you're going to wait on tight ends, why not go, you know, swing for the fences and go for a guy that has a top, you know, 7-6 potential, you know, because say if Sudfeld or somebody else doesn't work out that has all the potential in the world, then you can always drop them and pick up just one of the guys. There's 15 to 16 tight ends this year that are going to put up decent numbers. They're not going to give you an advantage every week like some of the top guys will, but they'll keep you tight end relevant.
Right. I completely agree with you. The only thing I don't like is that you have to waste another roster spot. Depending on how deep your league is, I mean, it might be okay, and there's a really good chance that you might be able to start both of them.
I know you're saying with the roster spot, I understand it, but even if Gronk if he misses 6 weeks and he comes back and he is Gronk, he's worth the extra roster spot for 6 weeks.
Right. No, absolutely. And as I was before we rudely cut me off, if Sudfeld is, you know, he's as good as we think he may be, or as viable as you think he may be, you might be able to start two tight ends in the league, and you can start both of them at the same time, which wouldn't have been a bad strategy at all if you had Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez last
right.
season. Especially with the lack of production they're going to have at wide receiver this year, I think the tight ends are going to get even more looks. So,
right. I actually said this, I'm sorry to cut you off really for the second time within a minute. I said this before, right before we went on the air. Brady always makes a star out of somebody. It's just not always a wide receiver. So I would be very surprised if Kimbrel Tompkins, Aaron Dobson, or Zach Sudfeld, at least one, possibly two, of them don't outplay their draft.
Right. Brady's going to get his, and someone needs to catch those balls in order for that to happen. So another situation where we might see a timeshare or Lamar Miller and Daniel Thomas in Miami, and this is fairly new. Everyone, all preseason, expected Lamar Miller to be the starter. I don't know if, you know, what we base it on or if it was just that, you know, Lamar Miller is probably the more talented running back here. But now, you know, between the GM of Miami Dolphins saying that it might be a split and them sharing carries in the preseason, it's turning out to be kind of a shaky situation. And fortunately for anyone who's drafted Lamar Miller, you didn't have to spend an early round pick on him. But now, I don't know where to go with this. I would still take Miller as the first guy, maybe drop him a little bit in your ADP, something around the 6th, 7th round. Now Daniel Thomas kind of becomes a later round flyer, maybe 10th, 11th round. I like what he could do. It looks like he might be the favorite for the goal line carries. He did have fumble issues in the past. But then again, this past preseason game, Lamar Miller did fumble a ball, and he did drop a big pass on third down as well. So, the coach isn't going to be happy about that. Both of these guys need to be drafted in your leagues. Obviously, Lamar Miller a little bit higher. He's got the higher upside.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that Lamar Miller still needs to be drafted first. But this kind of makes me more wary about Lamar Miller rather than it makes me think highly of Daniel Thomas. The fact that Lamar Miller can't convincingly win the job away from Daniel Thomas kind of worries me. He's going in the beginning of the 5th round right now, but ahead of guys like Darren Sproles, Monty Ball, Eddie Lacy, Ryan Matthews, Gio Bernard, Chris Ivory, Shane Vereen, Darryl Richard, I would take all those guys right now over Lamar Miller.
Right. No, I don't blame you. It's a little bit shaky. It might clear up a little bit more towards start of the season. Anyway, let's move on to the topic of the show. What we want to go over, like we said,
Greg, you with the big catcher.
Not important. What we want to go over, and we did have the draft this weekend. Me and C were actually in the same league.
Let me ask you a question. Whose team do you like better in that league?
Whose team do I like better?
Mine.
Yeah. I couldn't have been happier with my first three picks.
Yeah, how'd after round three go?
After round three?
Yeah, it was just six
I'm
round
fine with it. I got Le'Veon Bell. He wasn't even my starter. That's been my running back star. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
And I did end up getting a lot of my sleepers, the guys we're going to go over in the very near future. Let's start with the quarterback position first. It's different depending on every league. We're going to try to cover all your scenarios. One quarterback leagues, I stated this over and over, if you do get one of the top 10 guys, aside from Russell Wilson or RG3, you really don't need a backup. So you need to get one of the top 10 guys. But there's also been arguments over who falls within the top 10, which guy you need to start. But that's what we're going to help you with. Now, let's lean more towards the two quarterback league because I'm going to reach for guys who are outside the top 10 as my sleepers. Jay Cutler is my first one. I have him ranked as my 15th guy. Not sure what his ADP is. I know he's going a lot later than that.
He's going right now. He's going as 18th quarterback, middle 14th round.
Okay, that sounds about right for Cutler. It's just we all know his talent level. He's got the arm. The offensive line hasn't been great. He hasn't had the greatest of weapons until they acquired Brandon Marshall. So he had a little bit better of a season last year. The big thing is head coach Mark Trestman, who's an offensive mastermind, and I think this is the year that he might actually break through. It's just a matter of him, being involved in the offense and putting his mind into it. And I think he's going to have a monster year. He may not fall. You may not want to start him as your first quarterback in a one quarterback league, but in a two quarterback league, I would love to have him as my second guy, especially for where he's going.
I will say this about Cutler. If he doesn't do it this year, then I think you can officially write him off as a fantasy viable option. He's in, like you said, Mark Trestman has been known to have great quarterback play in the past. He's an offensive genius. He got the most out of, I believe, Rich Gannon. So, Jay Cutler, who is infinitely more talented than Rich Gannon, and he's in a contract year, and I think he kind of took it personally that the Bears – want to give him the Joe Flacco treatment and pay him before his last year of his contract. They're basically saying, go out there and prove it. We're not sure if you're worth all this money. So, with those two factors, the coach and the contract year, if he can't put it all together this year, I don't know when he can.
Do you have a guy outside the top 10 who you think could, end up finishing within the top 10, like someone you want to start within a 1-2B league?
The one, I mean, it's not, not much of a reach, but the one guy I would go with is actually probably Eli. Right now, outside of the top 10, your first four or five guys are Tony Romo, Eli Manning, Russell Wilson, Michael Vick, Andy Dalton, and Ben Roethlisberger. I just think Eli has the least amount of question marks there. I think, you know, Eli had a bad year last year. I think if he didn't, he'd be ahead of Romo and possibly Wilson. I think he has the pedigree to fall back on, where he had a ton of injuries last year. He had a lot of new pieces, and, you know, I think 28 touchdowns, 30 touchdowns, and 4,500 yards isn't, a reach for him. You know, Vic can finish top three if he stays healthy and plays the way he's capable of playing, but I just have no faith in that happening. And, you know, Romo is just always hit or miss. You never know. And then Wilson, in the second half of last year, you know, what Russell Wilson is, the Russell Wilson we're going to get, the guy in the first eight games or the guy in the last eight games when they went to the read option? You don't know. You know, I think Eli has the least amount of question marks. I'm not saying I would draft Eli Manning above Russell Wilson, but I think Eli is, you know, could finish in that 7 to 8 range and it not be that out of character for him.
Now, you know, I don't hate Eli Manning. Aside from a real life vendetta, but for fantasy purposes, I don't like him as a top 10 quarterback. I think he's going to finish like he usually does within the 10 to 13 range. He just doesn't have much upside. And
I agree with you. I think he's going to finish there, but I mean, if you had to draft one quarterback in a one quarterback league and not really have a reliable backup, would you rather have Eli than Michael Vick?
I'd rather have Vick, to be honest. If it had to be reliable, obviously.
For five weeks?
Well, we're not talking about that. I'm talking about someone who's going to finish in the top 10.
You said that you don't want to waste a roster spot on a backup tight end.
Well, in a two-quarterback league.
In a two-quarterback league?
I'm not drafting a backup quarterback. I don't want a backup quarterback unless I take Robert Griffin, which I wouldn't because I have him rated outside my top 10.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant a top 10 in a one quarterback league. Then I mean, if I could get Michael Vick as my second quarterback and have a top 7 or 8 quarterback, not named Robert Griffin, I'd be ecstatic. I think you could end up, if you have Michael Vick as your second rated quarterback, like let's say you have Rodgers and Vick or Breeze and Vick, you have the potential to have two top 5 quarterbacks, but you better have a good third quarterback. That's all I'm saying.
Right. That's kind of what I'm talking about. It's just guys who you're going to reach for, not necessarily reach for, but you're going to get in the later rounds in order to start as your second quarterback who could finish in first quarterback status. Not necessarily first quarterback status, but higher than the rest of the second quarterback. So, I said Jay Cutler. I do like Andrew Luck this year. It's not much of a reach. I have him in my top 10. Some people don't. I've seen him as low as 11 or 12. In the quarterback rankings. I just think he's going to take the next step this year. I like their offense. They've improved it a little bit, signing Amon Bradshaw as a blocking. Oh, House in the Carolina game.
So, honestly, and this is going to sound so stupid, I think Andrew Luck is going to be twice the quarterback that he was last year. The thing that worries me is I think the Colts are a lot better team this year, and I think that they threw the ball a ton last year, and they might not throw it as much this year.
Now, we have a caller, actually. Let's see. So we have here. Caller, are you there?
Yeah. Hey guys, this is Ryan Horan from Wayne. First of all, John, I totally disagree about Eli Manning. I don't see him ever getting the QB1 status. But I think you guys are sleeping on one potential quarterback, Josh Freeman. I've been watching him this offseason, and his muscle tone and his attitude is incredible. Most importantly, the muscle tone. So I want to know what you guys think about Josh Freeman this year. Thanks, guys. You guys did a great job.
You have a good point. And he's being motivated by the draft pick of Mike Glennon in Tampa Bay, and Coach Greg Schiano hasn't showed the utmost confidence in Josh Freeman until somewhat recently. He's still going to be the starter, and I do like the receivers on that offense, Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams, especially where they're being drafted. But I do like, Josh Freeman was another guy I was discussing as a late round sleeper. I do have him as my 19th rated quarterback, and that can very possibly go up in the very near future.
Chris, it's actually funny, Ryan. It's actually funny that you said that because My other two sleeper quarterbacks were Josh Freeman and EJ Manuel. I love EJ Manuel's potential just based on rushing alone. I think, you know, he could have a Robert Griffin light type of season where he rushes for 600 to 700 yards and throws for 20 touchdowns. And Josh Freeman, you know, it's his, the first 10 games of last year he was unbelievable in, and the last 6 he was god-awful in. So it depends on how many touches Doug Martin takes away from him passing inside the red zone. They do have two supreme red zone threats in Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams. So I think that, you know, 27 to 30 touchdowns for Freeman is not out of the question. It's just a matter of he can get his head on straight and, you know, limit the mistakes.
All right, and as you finish up your point, my draft is actually starting right now. I'm fifth overall. Looks like first Adrian Peterson, then Peyton Manning went second overall. I hope this kid's not listening. What the hell are you doing, kid?
Is it a one-quarterback league?
One-quarterback league, yeah. So, you know what?
I mean, at least take one.
I've seen worse picks, but we'll see. I'm actually picking next. You know, we're going to – and speaking of – we're going to move on to the running back position when it comes to sleepers. T, who do you have as your later-on picks, maybe outside the top 15, 20 guys who could finish possibly in the top 10, 5?
Yeah, I mean, I have a couple. One that we already touched up on is Darrell Richardson. He's actually going in the beginning of the ninth round. These ADPs were actually updated today. He might slip up a round or two now that he's officially been named the starter. But, you know, in the ninth round, if you can get a Jeff Fisher starting running back, I believe that's a really good value. You don't know what he can do. He's young. He has a ton of potential. He's going right around guys like Rashad Mendenhall, Shane Vereen, Chris Ivory, Jarvis Greenellis. I'd rather have Richardson, all those guys. Another sleeper, while he's not a sleeper in PPR leagues anymore, Darren Sproles. He is going in the middle of the fifth round. I'm assuming a lot of these are standard leagues and not PPR leagues. But like Mo has stated many times, 2 years ago with Sean Payton as the head coach, Darren Sproles, even if you take all of his receptions away, Darren Sproles was still a top 10 running back. You know, he's just – PPR is just an extra bonus. You know, you can just – he's going in the middle of the fifth round, the 22nd running back drafted. I think he should be at least two rounds higher. And if you're looking for a deeper sleeper, I think Danny Woodhead could be that guy. He's going in the 15th round, the 45th running back overall. Ryan Matthews is officially the starter there. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if Danny Woodhead sees more snaps over the course of the year than Ryan Matthews. Ryan Matthews is extremely talented. He has not been able to stay on the field. He's actually put up decent numbers when he's been on the field. But Woodhead's a reliable guy. He comes from the Brady Belichick system. You know, so you know he could pick up a playbook. You know he's gonna limit those mistakes while he's limited athletically. You know he's just gonna go out there and be reliable. PPR leagues is just a bonus. You know, I don't think 60, 70 catches is out of the question for Woodhead, especially if Matthews gets hurt. You know, if you can get him in the second to last round in standard leagues, I think that's great. All right. What about you?
I just made my pick. Three wide receiver league. I know you're about to yell at me.
I'm literally shaking.
You can only start two quarterbacks. Two running backs. I took Calvin Johnson fifth overall.
You didn't say the most important part. Non-PPR.
Non-PPR. It's fine. You start three running backs, which is way more than any other position that you're starting.
Three wide receivers.
That's fire.
Right. And only two. You said
three wide running backs. Anyway, I'm trying to focus on this draft. I'm a little distracted. Hans, take over for me. What do you think of your sleeper running back?
Hold on one second, Hans.
All right, go ahead, Hans.
All right, I got two sleepers here. Both of them going around the 10th round. The first one for non-PPR is Mark Ingram. T touched up on Darren Sproles, how he's going to, you know, catch a ton of passes out of the backfield. But the thing with Darren Sproles is, you know, they don't line up and hand the ball to Darren Sproles. Mark Ingram, he's going to get the goal line carries. You know, he's going to get the majority of the carries when they're running the ball. So it wouldn't be out of, you know, out of the ordinary for Mark Ingram to score at least 10 touchdowns. And my favorite sleeper for PPR leagues is definitely Shane Vereen. He's going around round 7, round 8. Stephen Ridley's the guy, but the thing about Shane Vereen is they're going to put him in the slot a lot. They're going to get the ball to him. The Patriots love throwing to their backs, getting back to the Kevin Falk days. So, you know, it wouldn't shock me if Shane Vereen catches 40 to 50 passes. And in the PPR league, that's, fifth round or more value you're getting.
Yeah, Cox, I couldn't agree with you more. Like I said before, Tom Brady makes a star out of somebody, and why can't that be Shane Vereen? I mean, he's going at the end of the eighth round. You know, the thing about Shane Vereen is he can line up wide. Just because Ridley is the guy doesn't mean that Ridley and Shane Vereen are not going to be on the field at the same time. You know, you saw him catch that beautiful ball last week. You know, he looked like a wide receiver. If he wasn't wearing a low number, you would have thought he was a wide receiver catching that ball over his shoulder. You know, I love Shane Vereen this year as well.
Yeah, one of the things Tom Brady is just a master at is exploiting mismatches. You see Gronk, Hernandez, they clean up. And like I said, Shane Vereen, he should catch 40 to 50 passes barring injury, and he makes a great, seventh, eighth round pick in PPR leagues.
I got to tell you, I think you're undershooting with the 40 to 50 passes. So I think he's going to catch more than that. I think he's going to be
really?
On the field a ton. Yeah, I love Shane Vereen this year. I just, it's in non-PPR leagues, I think he takes quite a hit. I think his value is actually going to be in the receptions. I think, Ridley is going to be that workhorse for them this year. Unfortunately, Ridley also caught, I think, 6 passes last year. So, all of my paid leagues that I'm in are actually PPR. So I haven't really been targeting Stephen Ridley that much. But, if you can get Vereen, like I said, late 8th, he's going in. 8th, 9th round, I love that value. I liken him to Gio Bernard, actually, who's going a full round ahead of him. But Bernard's getting out there, catching passes. Like I said, I think they might line Bernard up wide, even when Green Ellis is in the backfield. So those two guys in 7, 8, 9, I think are of good value.
All right. Now that's got back to me, it's actually my pick next. Guys, the sleeper running backs who I like, it's not much of a reach. I do like Maurice Jones, too, especially for where he's going. It's kind of a shock that he's falling into the, mid-third, sometimes even late third round, which is where I got him in my draft on Sunday. I just don't understand why everyone's sleeping on him. It's all the concerns that you have about him, it's the same concerns that he's had for the past few years. Bad offense, bad quarterback, stack in the box, possible injuries, stuff like that. So, and another guy who I like going late, Ryan Matthews from San Diego. I don't love Matthews, but just for where he's going now, he's kind of turned into a sleeper because of all the hate that surrounded him. 2 years ago, first-round pick. Last year, while injured, he was still being taken in the second and third round. So I just don't, for someone who had that much potential and still, does have that much potential, I don't expect their offense to be great this year. But, he's a guy who could finish in the top 10 if he does stay healthy the entire time. If you guys don't mind talking about the bust, I have to make my pick within less than 45 seconds. So
just to add to Ryan Matthews, if you could tell me you're going to get 16 games out of Ryan Matthews, he'd be a late first, early second round pick. So, he's going early seventh rounds right now. Listen, you can whiff on your seventh round pick and still win a fantasy league. So I don't mind that pick at all. My bust, this might be my biggest bust.
Let me just cut in. I think you could actually. I think you know who I just drafted right now.
Yeah, it's gonna go against your cardinal rule.
My cardinal rule? No, this is my rule. I took Jimmy Graham. Go on with the podcast.
I will. This is three drafts. So right now you have a wide receiver and a tight end in the first two rounds in a non PPR league. That's heavy on passing touchdowns. You heard me. All right, talk about your bust. This is actually my biggest bust out of any of the positions. Darren McFadden in the fourth round, I don't understand it. I can literally name 10 running backs I'd rather have that are getting drafted after Darren McFadden. He's always hurt. He plays for a terrible team. He probably plays behind the worst offensive line in the league. I don't think I could tell you one starter on their offensive line. And last year, when he was healthy, he wasn't good. He's getting drafted on a 13-game span that he had 2 years ago. It's the same thing as drafting Michael Vick as a top 10 quarterback or top now 5 quarterback, whatever you want to say. Darren McFadden has no business going in the fourth round. It's just, it's unfathomable to me. I can't explain it. I wouldn't even start him as my flex. I would rather, the guys going after him, Darren Sproles is going after him, Monty Ball, Eddie Lacy, Ryan Matthews, Ahmad Bradshaw, Gio Bernard, Chris Ivory, Shane Vereen, Dal Richardson, Ben Jarvis Greenellis, Andre Brown. I'd rather have all these guys. Andre Brown is going 6 rounds after him. I'd rather have Andre Brown. For my second bust that I don't feel as passionately about, but I still don't like him, is Rashard Mendenhall. I know Mo has said that he likes him. He's going in the 8th round, which isn't that bad. I think there's more value to be had in the 8th round by comparison. I think I either got
for a starting running back. Look, I'm not the biggest fan of Rashard Mendenhall, but it's gonna be to my pick, so I'm gonna try and manage. I'm not the biggest fan of Rashard Mendenhall, but he's gonna be the guy in Arizona, and we all know how bad Ryan Williams was when he took over the job last year, and not only that, but he's still a little nicked up this season. So I just like the opportunity that Mendenhall has. In order to get a starting running back in the 8th, 9th round, it's hard to beat that. I understand what you're saying. He's not the most talented guy.
Actually, you know what's weird about this? It has nothing to do with his talent. That's not the reason I like him. I actually don't like him because of his situation, which is the reason why you like him. I don't like him because he's playing for a team that has a 90% chance of being bad, finishing in 4th place. He's playing for a coach, Bruce Arians, that threw the ball 70% of the time last year on a playoff team. How much is he going to throw the ball on a team that's probably going to go 4-12?
Did you call the Cardinals a playoff team?
No, last year Bruce Arians threw the ball 70% of the time in Indianapolis.
All right.
What I'm saying is the Cardinals are going to be terrible. You know, the Cardinals don't throw the ball 70% of the time, I would be shocked. I don't think Mendenhall is not a great pass catcher. You know, he's nicked up. I don't think that, you know, he's going to get the opportunities that you think a starting running back usually would have. I don't know. I get
where you're coming from. It's just, it's hard to call him a sleeper for where he's being drafted. That's my only...
I didn't call him a sleeper. I called him
a bust for where he's being drafted. I just like the value you can get there. And you maybe don't want him starting as a running back too, but if you have to put him in your flex, that's not bad at all. You say you take someone like Andre Brown, which isn't bad. He's going to get the goal line carries, but I just don't really expect Andre Brown to, you know, as we speak. Are you guys even listening? I just got Maurice Jones Drew in the 3rd round again.
What a pick.
All right, you know what? I hope you guys aren't listening to me. But someone's listening, and someone just called in, so let's see who we have as a caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, hi. It's DJ from Wayne.
DJ, how you doing?
Listening to your guys' show throughout the past couple of weeks, it seems like we have a Lions fan, a Giants fan, and a Jets fan. I was thinking.
The Jets fan is wearing a brown paper bag over his head.
Join the club. I was just thinking, what are your guys' thoughts about Michael LeSure, Andre Brown, Bilal Powell, those guys? The guys have injury-prone guys ahead of them. Do you think they're sleepers? And what are your thoughts on my team, the Broncos, Ronnie Hillman, Monty Ball? And I'll let you guys go. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for the call, DJ.
Mikel LeSure, as he's not even a second running back in Detroit anymore. But since I said that from the beginning, even before they pretty much made it clear, Joy Kell is the second running back in Detroit. He was actually top 5 in targets last year for running backs as the 3rd running back.
So you imagine how many targets Reggie Bush is going to get.
Right. You get, and when he stays, Reggie Bush is hopefully going to be the 3-down guy there. I still think Joy Bell is a late-round sleeper. Bush has had his injury history. Kelechore is completely undraftable. Please, everyone listen to me when it comes to that. He was lucky with the touchdown rate last year. Who else did we say? Powell. He's actually looked good in preseason. And they don't have any other options. Chris Ivory has, in limited time, he's gotten hurt throughout the preseason.
Let the Jets fan take this. Like you said, Ian, Chris Ivory, you know, He's never carried the whole load for 16 games. Yeah, we have a small sample size, and he's done well in that small sample size, but that's on the New Orleans Saints, you know, who are, you know, when you compare offenses, the New York Jets and the New Orleans Saints, you know, it's like, you know, night and day. So, yeah, absolutely. Bilal Powell, you get him, you know, if you get him after the 15th round, you know, it's worth taking a flyer on him, especially when a lot of the other guys, you know, they have a much less, you know, much less chance of touching the ball than Bilal Powell does. You know, I mean, is Chris Ivory really going to stay healthy and, you know, carry the ball 250, 300 times? You know, if he had a gun to my head, probably not. So, like I said, Bilal Powell is worth taking at the end. And as for your team, the Denver Broncos, and you mentioned Ronnie Hillman and Monty Ball, well, two things. A, the Broncos have one of the best offensive lines in football. And B, they have, if not the best quarterback, probably the second best quarterback in football who, you know, reads defenses with his eyes closed. You know, he knows when to audible to a run. You know, Monty Ball, I think he'll score more touchdowns, but in the PPR league, I think Ronnie Hillman will definitely catch more passes, and both of them are draftable, you know, as sleepers around the 10th round, maybe a little later.
Despite the popularity you're getting in the chat room of my league right now, I'm still going to have to cut you off. You spoke about having a gun to your head. If you talk about the Jets running backs that long again, I might have to put a gun to your head. Let's move on to...
Honestly, the only thing I could think about as Consta speaking is that I don't think I'm going to own a Jet this year at all.
No, not one.
If the Jets fan had his deal, I think I should get my deal with the Giants running backs.
Go ahead.
I'll make it a little shorter than the Jets running back segment, though.
Better have Chris Ivory than Andre Brown, that's for sure.
Yeah, except that Chris Ivory's a starter for the Jets and Andre Brown isn't.
Taking a little shot at the Giants fan.
Let the Giants fan talk.
As far as Andre Brown goes, I think out of the backup running backs that DJ mentioned, I think we can all agree that I think everybody would rather have Andre Brown. You know, David Wilson and Andre Brown, I would think it's going to be a 60-40 split in David Wilson's favor, but Andre Brown's going to get third downs. I think he's going to get the goal line carries and probably the red zone carries for
Can I intervene? So you're – I don't like – I said David Wilson was a bust. So you say it's going to be 60-40, but David Wilson can go as a fourth-round pick and Andre Brown's going in the 10th round, and you think that makes them even? You don't find that a little – what do you mean that makes that even?
That makes any sense.
Well, it's going to be a 60-40 split, and you don't think that David Wilson is as much of a bust as I do. So
I wouldn't take David Wilson in the fourth round, even as a Giants.
Okay, all right, fair. That's where I was going with that.
Here's the Giants running back situation is tricky because I think that you might see, you know, 60-40, 50-50 split in carries and in fantasy production, but I think David Wilson is getting drafted on his potential. You know, if one of the guys that breaks away this year and becomes a star, it's going to be David Wilson.
Yeah,
Andre
Brown.
If Wilson hits it, he's going to he'll be a first round pick next year. He's going to be by far past his fourth round ADP.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants, we all know they historically draft very well. And like you said, T, David Wilson, Andre Brown, we all know who the more talented back is. So if David Wilson can hold on to the football, you know, I don't see, you know, why at least 1,000 yards rushing, you know, close to 10 touchdowns out of the question.
That is one of my biggest pet peeves about fantasy football this year. David Wilson fumbled his first carry, and he didn't have a fumble for the rest of the year.
He never lost fumble the rest of the year.
He lost fumble.
Really?
The biggest thing about David Wilson is his pass protection. If he can protect Eli, he'll play.
Right.
If he can't, Andre Brown will play. That's all.
I like his situation. I just think he's going a little bit high in draft because, like you say, it'll be more of a timeshare than David Wilson.
I will say, though, not by much. I wouldn't mind taking Wilson the 5th to 6th range.
That's fine.
I just think there's a lot of top-end value there.
Yeah. Upside is there.
That boy can run.
Run, man. He can play. He can play. So, wide receiver. Let's move on.
Okay.
We spent too much time on running back. Guys who – I have a few deep sleepers when it comes to running back wide receivers. My first one being Josh Gordon out of Cleveland. I brought him up before. I'm not a huge fan of Brandon Whedon, but there really isn't anyone else that this team has. Josh Gordon, a deep threat. He was pretty phenomenal in the limited time that he played last year. He has huge playability. They don't have much else in that offense. Like I said, Greg Little is the number 2 receiver, I believe. They just you know, he's one of those guys with the breakout. He just, you know, and the speed he showed, his good hands. He's just, he has star potential, and this might be the year that he breaks through. Another guy, kind of the same mold, even though he's going to start the year as the number three wide receiver, T.Y. Hilton from Indianapolis. As I mentioned before, I think Andrew Luck is someone who's going to take the next step in his NFL career, and someone has to benefit from that. And my favorite guy to do that is T.Y. Hilton. Also, his playability. And my biggest one, as a late sleeper, Brian Broyles, the second wide receiver from Detroit. It's pretty much only in PPR league. He does have to stay healthy in order for this pick to work out, but I just like what he's capable of. You know what? It's actually my pick again this week. I'm happy to say, very happy to announce that I'll be taking Matthew Stafford.
Okay, now I'm going to say it. Actually, Stafford in the fourth round in this league isn't bad, but you were thinking about taking him in the second.
Yeah, two quarterback
week. Well, I took him over Cam Newton too. I know you're not going to like that. Cam Newton is still available.
No,
I don't.
Especially in this league where they reward passing touchdowns, I don't mind it that much. But the fact that you wanted to go Calvin Johnson, Matthew Stafford in rounds one and two, but you preach that you shouldn't overrate your own team's players, so it's ridiculous.
No, I hope to play. It was dependent upon how many quarterbacks went. So, you know, they obviously weren't going. I see that Cam Newton is still available. And, you know, on value alone, maybe I should have taken Cam Newton first, but I think Matthew Stafford's going to finish ahead. And now that I have Calvin Johnson, you know, they're kind of dependent upon each other.
No,
exactly.
In this league, I actually like Stafford over.
We have another caller. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Not so much a question, just a comment. You know, Ant, you do a great job here, but did I just hear the words out of your mouth that you took Matt Stafford over Cam Newton? I believe we had a caller earlier in the show who said he took Riley Cooper. I'm not sure what's the worst move, taking Stafford over or Newton, or actually drafting Riley Cooper, who might be dead within a month.
I'm sorry, caller, what is your name?
It's Chris.
Oh, Chris. Yeah, this is T speaking, not Mo. But I do have to defend Mo in this situation. It's a heavy passing. Well, where Newton gets his edge in quarterback play is the rushing touchdown, stuff like that. This league actually rewards people for 6 points for a passing touchdown, and it's actually only 25 points for passing yards instead of more. So I do have to defend this pick of Stafford over this one. I do think it's a good pick.
Okay, T, I trust your judgment. You're a good guy. You do a great job. Keep up the good work.
I really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a good show.
Chris, thanks for the call. My next pick is actually coming up soon again.
Okay, well, I'll go over my sleepers while you're concentrating on your pick.
Okay.
My first sleeper, not a deep sleeper by any means, Dwayne Bowe. So in the middle of the fifth round, you know, this is a former top five guy. I would just basically rather have him over a couple guys that are going ahead of him. I don't really have a problem with the mid-fifth round. I just have a problem with Marquise Colston, Vincent Jackson, and Andre Johnson and Randall Cobb going ahead of him. You know, he said he wanted to come out and lead the league in receptions. Well, I don't think that will happen. I think that Andy Reid is going to throw the ball early and often, and Dwayne Bowe is his best target. The only thing that worries me a little bit about Bowe, Alex Smith is not a playmaking quarterback. He's more of a game manager.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Smith, the guys that have always been good with Alex Smith, granted, is the way the 49ers were built, were tight end and running backs. He has problems making plays outside the numbers. He doesn't have the strongest arm in the league. So that's a little bit of concern, but I would still reach for Bowe maybe in the fourth round. I think he could outplay that mid-fifth draft projection. My second keeper, I'm sorry, my second
sleeper, idiot,
which is a little deeper, as he's been mentioned this year before, is Reuben Randall.
We may have a house on our hands.
Anyway, back to Reuben Randall. He's going in the beginning of the 15th round.
Whoa, hold on. I got to cut you off.
Mo's making his pick.
Darren Sproles in the fifth round.
And a non-VCR.
Talk about value.
In
the
fifth round.
Pick. It's still a great pick, but...
You know what? Don't even let him finish his point.
Let me finish this.
You
first
finish
all.
Your
second
point.
Your draft strategy going into this draft was terrible. Anyway.
Sproles in the fifth round. 2 years ago, he finished as a top 10 running back without PPR.
51st wide receiver going, 15th round, Reuben Randall. As we mentioned before,
Cruz is already hurt. Nix is likely to get hurt. Reuben Randle is an extremely talented wide receiver. He's young. He hasn't really gotten a chance. And not even if Cruz and Nix both stay healthy, Reuben Randle is going to play a ton. The Giants run a lot of three wide receiver sets. It's just that Tom Coughlin doesn't play a lot of rookies. But, last year they filled that third wide receiver void with Ramsey Gordon, Dominic Hickton. Coughlin just wanted to go with the veteran guy. And, now that Reuben Randle is not a rookie anymore, I think you'll see a lot more Reuben Randle when he played at the end of the year. I know he had a two-touchdown game, and I think the next year, I think he had three touchdowns in 2 weeks, four touchdowns in 3 weeks, something like that. And my final sleeper going in the mid-16th round is Brian Hartline. He's a 54th wide receiver, taken mid-16th round pick. Basically, I just think that Miami is going to be a better offense this year. As you'll find out for my bust, I don't like Mike Wallace. Especially in PPR leagues, I think that Brian Hartline is going to lead the Dolphins in receptions. I don't think 80 catches is out of the question for him. If you can get an 80-catch, 1,000-yard guy in 16th round, that's great. He only had one touchdown last year, I know, but, if he had one touchdown again this year, I'd be really, really surprised. I think that, Hartline will by far outplay his production. What do you think of the wide receivers, Con?
All right, well, basically we got one bust who's going to, shock everyone, but I'm going to go with the sleeper first. He's not going too late, but I just feel he's the best option on that offense. He hasn't played an NFL game yet, but Tavon Austin, look around at the Rams' offense. They got an unproven running back. They got Chris Givens on the other side, and like I said with the Raiders last week, you might as well throw me in the clot. Sam Bradford, he doesn't have the strongest arm. There's a reason they moved up to draft Tavon Austin. He's going to be the go-to guy. And just to add to it, he's going to get return yards. And, it wouldn't be out of the question for him to be a strong wide receiver three, maybe even a wide receiver two. I wouldn't be surprised if he got just 70 to 80 balls. And as for the bust, who's going, end of the second round or end of the second round, beginning of the third round, Julio Jones. Here's a stat for you. Julio Jones, in 16 games last year, he only had two, where he had six catches or more. If you're going to take a wide receiver that high, it has to be a wide receiver in PPR who's going to catch, a good 7 to 8 balls every game. And, they have other options. Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez, they're Matt Ryan's security blankets. So Julio Jones, if he's not scoring touchdowns, catching a long bomb, every game or so, he's kind of useless when it comes to PPR. Of course, he's going to still put up his numbers, probably catch close to 10 touchdowns, but in a PPR format, you have other options that are ranked behind him that are better, such as Brandon Marshall, Dez Bryant, even Wes Welker. I wouldn't be surprised to finish ahead of him. What do you think, Ant?
I love that call, and you actually, granted, you took my bust away from me, but I just like just where he's being drafted. You said it perfectly. He relies too heavily on big plays. He relies too heavily on touchdowns. And in that offense, they have just so many options, especially with the, with the addition of Steven Jackson, who's going to catch a lot of balls out of the backfield.
I think people are just, kind of saying that Julio Jones, he's going to make that step that A.J. Green did last year. And that's nowhere near a foregone conclusion. The fact that Julio Jones is going before Brandon Marshall on average is really surprising.
No, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And another guy who I don't like being drafted that early, who's kind of going around the same ADP as Julio Jones a little bit later, is Andre Johnson. He's 32 years old right now.
Jesus, another house, but there's
another house.
Jesus.
Sleepers. Andre Johnson, 32 years old. He's in an offense. Matt Schaub is he's been declining for years now. He's just not what he used to. He was never that good to begin with. Luke Kuechly. If you guys are in IDP leagues, this guy is an absolute monster. He's got to be rated as the number two linebacker right now in IDP leagues. Anyway, so Matt Schaub. What was I talking about?
I don't know. I just saw another house and I got excited.
Andre Johnson. 32 years old. He's in a running offense. They like to run the ball. Even if Arian Foster, one of our potential bust candidates, even if he doesn't hold up, then Penn Tate, we know he could be the number one running back there. He's already proven that in limited time. So it's, I just don't like, I still think Andre Johnson's going to be very good. Don't get me wrong. He's just not a number one wide receiver anymore. I like him more as a, you know, as a wide receiver too. He should be selected as the maybe 11th, 12th wide receiver. There's a bunch of guys I would throw into that top 10. You know, and when it comes down to PPR, there's even more guys I would move up. Like, I'll put Wes Welker ahead of Andre Johnson. I'll put Victor, a healthy Victor Cruz ahead of Andre Johnson. You know, guys like that. So
maybe even Reggie Wayne.
Right. You know, that's just a little bit further, but I still think it's fair. Let's move on to the tight end spot. I think we've talked about this more than any other position, so we're not going to spend too much time on it. Jimmy Graham's the number one guy. It's nothing to do with the sleeper bust. I just like to mention that as much as I can, as often as I can in podcasts. I don't want
to around picking a non-PPR.
I don't want to. Guys, let's just talk about tight ends outside the top 10 who you think could finish top 6.
Top 6. All right. I have two. First and foremost, Jordan Cameron. He's the 14th tight end off the board, getting drafted in the mid-13th round. And, you know, I just, like you said, I like his situation. I think Cleveland has a lot of under-the-radar picks. Besides, I think they have a lot of under-the-radar picks. You know, with Josh Gordon, Brandon Whedon is not draftable in a standard league, obviously, but in a two-quarterback league, he could be like a sneaky quarterback three that could become a quarterback two. And I think the biggest sleeper on Cleveland is Jordan Cameron. I think, you know, he's one of those former basketball guys who's an insane athlete. North Turner has already made a star out of one of those guys in Antonio Gates, who ironically is one of my busts this year. But if you're, you know, if you're going with the strategy that you want to wait on tight end, and then when you do wait, you want to take one of those guys that could just be the top, you know, five or six guys, Jordan Cameron is my first and foremost candidate. You know, I would draft him ahead of Brandon Myers, Owen Daniels, Martellus Bennett, based on potential alone.
Oh, whoa, hold on. It's my pick. Anyway, hold on the clock. I do have Calvin Johnson, the best wide receiver. I think I'm still going to go wide receiver again. We are in the sixth round. Look at the options. Cecil Shorts, James Jones. I'm going to skip the guy I think I want. T.Y. Hilton, Kayvon Austin, Kenny Britt. Jordy Nelson as a sixth-round pick. Got to go with that, right?
From the guys I heard, I would either go with him, Shorts, or Hilton.
Well, I mean, look who we have at running back. Shane Vereen, Mendenhall.
Do you have one or two tight ends? One or two wide receivers right now?
One. Calvin Johnson. Got to go with Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, I would go with Nelson then.
But I just I he would have been my pick no matter what.
Yeah. So anyway, what I was saying, I just, you know, got like Brent Owen Daniels to me as the 11th rated tight end. He's a 10th pick, Jordan a 10th round pick. Jordan Cameron's going 3.5 rounds later than him. I'd rather take the upside. If Jordan Cameron's a complete bust, I could drop him. He's going to have, you know, Brandon Pettigrew, Jermaine Gresham, Fred Davis. They're all going to be free agents. You could pick one of those guys up. And my second sleeper, as I think has been well documented on the show, while not as well as Ant liking or Mo liking Jimmy Graham, Zach Sudfeld. So he's a 20th drafted tight end right now, going in the middle of the 18th round. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think this guy has top 6 potential. I think he has top 3 potential. If Gronkowski does not come back all year or he gets re-injured, I think this guy, I don't think 80 to 90 catches and double-digit tight end touchdowns is out of the question for this guy.
Oh, really? I wouldn't consider that going out on a limb. I think that's more of a going out on the George Washington bridge. It's not much of a...
You don't think saying that the 20th ranked tight end, the top three guy,
Let's be honest. The more we talk about him, not necessarily us, because we're not the biggest influence on Zach Sudfeld's ADP. But it's not much of a sleeper anymore. I understand where you're coming from. I like his potential, and I would definitely take him as my number two tight end. But let's not make it like he's, oh, defense is starting to go. 49ers there, Seattle. Con, give me a tight end out of the top 10 who could possibly finish within the top 6, 7.
Well, I wasn't ready for that question, so I'm just going to go ahead and call an audible. I'm going to give everyone two tight end sleepers who are not even going drafted right now, believe it or not. Number one, and Ant is going to put a smile on your face, Brandon Pettigrew. I mean, he's been a serviceable fantasy tight end for the, you know, past 2 years or so. Yeah, he's probably, you know, now with Reggie Bush there, probably the fourth passing option. But, you know, on a team that throws as much as the Detroit Lions do, you know, like I said, you know, he's not going to be consistent. You know, he's going to have, you know, some rough weeks. But, you know, he's going to have his games where he catches six, seven passes, scores a touchdown or two. So, you know, if you whiff on all the top tight ends, you know, you could just wait it out and, you know, grab Brandon Pettigrew and maybe Sudfeld. And then all of a sudden you have a decent two tight end combination. And another one that's going to make my friend T happy, Tyler Eifert on the Cincinnati Bengals. He got selected in the around the middle of the first round, T.
21st.
Yeah, 21st to be exact. The main reason, other than AJ Green, who is the second option on the you know, Bengals offense? You know, Mohamed Sanu, you know, yeah, he's got talent, but who's to say he's going to be consistent on a week-to-week basis? Andrew Hawkins, the same goes for him. And like I said last week, when you take a player that high, you know, you're drafting them, you know, to be a playmaker for you for years to come. And I don't think there's any reason to believe that Tyler Eifert won't come out, you know, burst out of the gate and be one of Andy Dalton's favorite targets. And, you know, for a guy who's not getting drafted, why not take him in the last round?
Hey, Tom, enough of your rambling. It's my pick. And
hey, watch it, Mo.
I need some advice, all right?
Hey.
I still need a wide receiver spot field. I have a minute left.
Hilton's still there?
I could take a backup running back. I have no problem with this. Is who?
T.Y. Hilton's still there.
Hilton's still there. That's actually who I'm leaning towards. Running backs, they have Shane Vereen, Mendenhall, Ahmad Bradshaw, Ryan Matthews, Chris Ivory.
I think it's one of the Colts, Bradshaw or Hilton. Too.
And how many picks do you have until your next pick? Like
It'll be a long time. The wide receiver
I would take Hilton.
Hilton's a pick.
Is Cecil Shore still there?
Shorts is still there, but I'm not.
I would take him in a non-PPR.
I'm not a big fan of Cecil Shorts.
I know, but
T.Y. Hilton has more big playability.
I think Hilton's values in catches. I think he's put his spot a lot.
The thing, yeah, but
same goes for Cecil Shorts, no?
Yeah,
I got a follow.
I'm saying
he didn't catch too many touchdowns.
I think no one on the Jaguars right. catches them.
anyway,
just to play,
agreed.
Anyway, to get back on with our sleepers or whatever, just to play devil advocate to Kant's sleepers, I do think Eifert is the most talented tight end on the Bengals roster. It's just I don't know too much about Marvin Lewis. It looks like they're going to run a lot of two tight end sets. I just, you know, Eifert is going to be one of those guys where I wouldn't be surprised if he's quiet in the beginning of the year. And then he kind of comes on later in the year. Brandon Pettigrew, I've heard a lot of people saying that he's a sleeper this year. And I don't understand. Like, I guess where he's going is the 15th ranked tight end. And I just don't get it. Everybody says, oh, the Lions throw a lot, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? The Lions threw a lot last year, more than any other team ever.
and 3 years ago.
And the targets were there. And Brandon Pettigrew has still never finished above 11th in tight end scoring. So I don't understand why he's the sleeper, why all of a sudden he's supposed to put it together when they have Reggie Bush who's going to take targets away from him, you know, when they have Ryan Boyles who's going to take targets away from him. I don't understand why he's supposed to become this, you know, this sleeper that's going to be a viable tight end option. I don't see it happen.
I mean, the targets have always been there. It's just, you know, he was a first-round pick. He obviously has talent. He's just not... He hasn't been an upper echelon talent tight end.
No,
so,
he hasn't been a starting tight end in a standard league. His highest finish was 11th.
Right, but he, you know, he comes into camp. He's in a contract year, and he comes into camp. And, you know, according to Jim Schwartz, who also thinks it's cool to not throw a challenge flag when Texans running back go down with a knee
or
so
start a fight with Jim Harbaugh.
Right, well, he doesn't have the best judgment. That's not he does come into camp in the best shape of his life. Or best shape of his career, as far as we know. I like the potentially, and the point is, like, we're not saying he's going to be, he definitely is a top 10 tight end, but the opportunities are going to be there. There's going to be the ball thrown his way. There's weeks where he has 10 to 12 catches, and there's weeks where he has 3 to 4. So I see where you're coming from, but, you know, that's why – no, not only – and catches, too.
Yeah. anyway, my whole thing is if I can get Jordan Cameron in the same rounds, or I can get a guy like Fred Davis two rounds later, Tyler Eifert four rounds later, and Zach Sutfield five rounds later. If I'm waiting on tight end, I'm going to go tight end
you
late.
You couldn't. I think you just. All right. I mean, to be honest, I think you just. The three guys you named have about eight career catches. So I don't understand.
That's
if,
fine.
If Brandon Pettigrew's never done it before, I don't understand how you think those guys
well,
have
no,
done
it before. Well, I think that they're high potential picks. I'm going to string for the. If I wait on tight end, I'm going to string for the fences. And guess what? If they miss, I can drop him and then pick up Pettigrew because he's not going
to right. That's not a bad strategy. But anyway, let's move on. Let's go on to the email questions. You know, here's the first. I think we just argued about this too much. Which tight end is the most potential to break the top 10? Who was outside of the top 10?
Besides Sudfeld.
I shouldn't even read this question. I spent way too much time on this before.
Let's move on
to the next one. Which running back who isn't currently a starting running back on the depth chart has the most upside? Okay, we can work with that. Let me go back to my running back list. T, do you have anyone off the top of your head?
Literally off the top of my head, like I said, I feel like a broken record in a PPR league. I would say either Shane Vereen or Gio Bernard. I would be shocked if Bernard actually even start the season. I think he's going to see more snaps than Green Ellis. I think he gives, you know, it's really interesting. The Bengals, I think, are really up their team this year. I think that they give Eifert and Bernard both the first pick, given that nice playmaking ability that only AJ Green provides. You know, Green Ellis was as reliable as they come, but, you know, he doesn't break off big runs or anything. I'd be shocked if Bernard doesn't see, while he's maybe not the starter, doesn't see more snaps than Green Ellis. I think Green Ellis will still be red zone guy, but.
No, I love the Gio Bernard pick, actually. And when it comes to backup running backs, I guess if we have to pick, like, strictly backup, if Gio Bernard, he might not even be the backup. That's the thing. It's going to be, like, more of a handcuff situation.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about handcuffs, like true handcuffs.
Right.
I would say either – I'd probably say Ben Tate just because of the uncertainty around Foster,
right? That's actually – that
or Bryce Brown, actually, because I think the Eagles are
going to – They were both going to be my guys. I still like that. Another good handcuff you could have, another guy who's proven that he can carry the load if he was a starter, Michael Bush in Chicago. And Matt Forte has had his injury problems. Not that he's my favorite one, but that's just a nice – he's one of the guys who needs to be owned. Towards the end of it. And you know, not only that, we spoke about it before. We just don't know what David Wilson is capable of. So Andre Brown, he's kind of the Gio Bernard mold. He's the guy who could start in the flex position.
Speaking of sleepers, I think going to draft Carolina. They have two houses. What they call return house.
You say
like three turnovers.
She was on crystal meth before, so the effects may have not worn off yet. I'm going to go with someone who's not even getting drafted right now just because of the uncertainty of the guy above him. Green Bay Packers, Eddie Lacy, he's slated to start. They took him in the second round, but Jonathan Franklin, you know, the thing about Eddie Lacy, he's not going to catch the football. You know, he's the guy, you hand him the ball, he's a downhill runner. But Jonathan Franklin, they drafted in, I believe, the fourth round. So, I mean, if Eddie Lacy, you know, stumbles out of the gate, it wouldn't surprise me if they give Jonathan Franklin a shot and, you know, it wouldn't four or five balls a game he could catch, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all. And he could be like I said, he's going undrafted. So, as a deep, deep sleeper, definitely worth taking.
It's a fantastic call. I like that. I completely like that. If Eddie Lacy can't stay healthy and, you know, they're talking about DeJuan Harris getting first team drafted.
Please, DeJuan Harris.
Like,
his name just screams jobber.
He was on the team last year. If he was that good, why would you spend two draft picks on Lacy and John?
The only reason I don't agree with that is just because I really like Lacy this year. I think he's going to be that running back that the Packers have been missing.
All right, fair enough.
It has nothing. It's not anything against Jonathan Franklin. It's kind of just that I like Lacy.
All right, so, you know, as it's actually going to be my pick next, let's handle the next question. I'll let you guys take it while I'm gonna make my next pick. Third and final question, best wide receiver who's going undrafted in leagues. ADP is undrafted. I mean, I have a
I still have 45 seconds. Hopefully, hey, what's your? Oh, thanks for taking your time, buddy. Now it's my pick.
What is constitutes as undrafted after the 16th round? I think is.
I think I'm going to pick pretty quickly. I'll take Chris Ivory with my pick. So yeah, I have some time right now to talk about it. The guys who are going to go undrafted, it's tough. Like you said, it's tough just to decide who actually qualifies as undrafted. But guys like Cordero Patterson from Minnesota, not that I'm a huge fan, but he's one of those players he could take, like, well, it depends what kind of league you're in. I mean, how
in the 13th round? I think every league has 13th rounds.
I think that's
high. I don't think so.
All right, do you want me to go?
I mean, I'll just off the top of my head, I'll just say Julian Edelman. If Danny Amendola, I guess when he does go down, Edelman will be the slot receiver. PPR leagues, you should see plenty of targets, but I mean, it's so hard to pick up about the guy.
I know another guy has a chance, Mohamed Sanu in Cincinnati, the number two wide receiver. I really haven't heard much about him at all, and while he may not. It's not like he's going to break through and you know, become a huge value pick, but he's definitely going to be viable. In limited time last year, he looked good as a red zone threat. He's just one of those guys where, you know, he's going to have value, especially for where he's being taken.
And another guy off the top of my head, Brandon LaFell, who should be the number two wide receiver in Carolina. Maybe it's not off the top of my head. I'm just watching the Carolina Panthers play right now. So... like you said, it's so hard to predict undrafted guys. They go undrafted for a reason. Cock, do you have anyone off the top of your head?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's going to be a homer pick. I mean, I don't know if he's getting undrafted, but it's, you know, the last three rounds of the draft for sure. Jeremy Curley, I mean, yeah, I know the Jets quarterback situation isn't good, to say the very least, but think about it. I mean, no matter who starts, Geno Smith, Mark Sanchez, they're not going to be able to, you know, throw the ball outside the numbers with regularity. So, I mean, let's be fair, we're probably going to be losing a lot. So, Jeremy Curley is a very sneaky guy. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he catches 60 to 70 passes. He also returns punts. So, I mean...
Cons, you know what? I don't even feel bad interrupting you right now because you told me I was on crystal meth for saying this, but Carolina's defense just had another pick. Keekly, who has a forced fumble and a pick already.
Oh, well he's an animal, so...
Yeah, so, you know, I don't really care about your
one on crystal meth then.
All right, you know what? And we actually have one more question coming from the draft room chat that I'm in right now. It looks like Pete G wants to know if Kantz is single.
Oh, for all the ladies out there, yes, Kantz is single and ready to mingle. So if you're a 7.5 or higher, 973-580-4536. Although I don't think there's many females listening to the podcast.
Right? Oh, you never know, Cox.
Yeah.
For the one or two, maybe, you know. You know, there you have it, girls. You never know. Cox, you might as well throw it out there. You never know what's going to happen. Cox, as we're talking about sleepers all draft, Cox is my sleeper. My sleeper boyfriend. I think he's going to be he's a great catch. You guys need to give him a chance.
Low risk, high reward.
I think we've spoken a little bit too much. And, you know, my pick is coming up again, so I'm going to cut it off as soon as possible. Everybody, thanks for listening. Once again, go check back with the Facebook page, see what we have to post. Thanks for everyone who called in. We were going to put more things up during the week and, you know, check back in just to see what we're going to talk about next weekend on the podcast as well. You know, thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you soon. We don't play, we take it to the house.